Alrighty, good morning everyone. My name is Chase Vassbinder, and today I would like to talk to you about some management decisions for dry land cotton producers in the Texas Blacklands and Coastal Plains production regions. And I would like to also thank my co-authors for all their help on this study. So basically, this is what we ran into prior to 2012 when the study was initiated. As you can see, throughout this cotton field, there is a widespread potassium deficiency. But when this field was soil sampled, it was deemed that no potassium be recommended for this cotton crop, for 2 billion acre cotton. So why is potassium important to cotton? Basically, for the end product, bolt development and filling, fiber development, and plant stress mitigation, which also water relations and reduce diseases. So basically, cotton plants have a peak potassium uptake period. Generally, this is between first bloom and peak bloom, which is usually between 50 to 80 days after planting, respectively. And it's also estimated that approximately 30 pounds of potassium is taken up per bale of cotton. So this is a graph of first edition bolls. Basically, it's just comparing bolls per acre to main stem nodes. So if you look at the green lines, Delta Prime 555, we'll consider our older standard variety, somewhat well adapted throughout the cotton belt and with generally good yields. And the rest of the lines we'll consider our more modern varieties. And if you'll notice that all those peaks have somewhat shifted to the left, indicating earliness as well as increase in bolts per acre, which would indicate more demand on nutrients for the cotton plant. So this is a trend line for the yield for the United States. As you can see, yields have greatly increased from the 1980s into recent years. And this is a fertilizer usage graph from the 1960s into 2011. Now you see nitrogen is somewhat mirrored the nitrogen trend, but if you look at potassium and phosphorus, it remained relatively flat since the 1980s, and one can somewhat speculate that some nutrient mining is occurring. So this is a map that was pulled from IPNI's new GIS, and it's 2012 data, but it can remain relatively, it's about the same. So basically, it's potassium balance estimation from 5 years prior to 2012, and basically it was calculated by taking the amount of potassium removed from harvested acres minus the fertilizer inputs divided by planted acres. If you look at the legend, the more red a data point is on that map, the higher degree of mining is occurring, and the greener it becomes, the more potassium is being added to that soil. So if you look throughout Texas, if you see most of the major row crop production areas have some degree of potassium mining, anywhere between 11 to 50 pounds of potassium being removed per acre. And some of the outlined areas where some of our study areas resided, you can see that in most cases potassium was being mined. So some of the objectives for this study is, one, from my study anyways, was to conduct a soil sample survey to determine surface and subsoil levels of potassium and phosphorus in the Blacklands and Coastal Plains. I will not be talking about this during the study, but I can refer you, if you want to see more information on this, to poster 11 at the poster session. And objective 2, which is to determine the rate and application method of potassium for optimal lint yield and fiber quality. Basically, the hypothesis of the study was to apply higher rates of potassium and to find out at which point the cotton would no longer respond to these applied treatments. So materials and methods. Basically, we had 12 locations total, 2 locations in 2012 and 2015, 4 locations in 2013 and 2014. We soil sampled between December and February down to 4 feet, and we had 4 or greater replications of randomized complete block design. We had 4 to 6 rows in our plots that were 40 or greater foot long. Our row spacing was generally between 30 to 40 inches, depending on location. Our varieties were adapted to local growing conditions, and they weren't the same throughout this entire study. They did range from early to full season maturities. And data was analyzed with ANOVA using Fisher's LSD. And on the left side is our list of treatments. We had untreated check, along with liquid injected and granular broadcast methods. And we increased from 20 to 160 pounds for both methods. For the liquid injected, we knife injected 6 inches to the side and 6 inches below the seed. And for granular broadcast, it was spread evenly throughout the plot and incorporated to approximately 2 inches of depth. And in all cases, we used potassium chloride for our potassium fertilizer source. So for some of our site details, we had locations in three counties. Williamson County and Hill County were our two blackland sites, and Wharton County was our coastal plains site. In all instances, our soil types were relatively consistent, being a smectitic mineralogy and had verdict properties. Williamson County was meant to be our responsive site, as in most cases it was below 125 ppm, which is the Texas A&M soil test recommendation for 2 bale an acre cotton. Wharton and Hill County were supposed to be our unresponsive sites. Wharton did have a couple of locations that were below threshold that was, I believe, only in 2012. The rest were supposed to be unresponsive sites. So this is a graph of lint yield for all 12 site years. This is basically just comparing lint yield in pounds per acre to the ppm of the native K, which was from the soil test, and we averaged this from 0 to 12 inches, plus the ppm of the applied treatments. So the red line is the current threshold of 125 ppm, but if you'll notice, a lot of these trend lines still have a positive correlation, and they're still responding to these applied treatments past 125 ppm. So for the remainder of this study, we'll be talking about locations that had lower than 200 ppm potassium. So this is a lint yield and a return on investment graph for Williamson in 2012. We also had a location at Wharton in 2012 this year, but they're had similar stories. I have two y-axis here, lint yield in pounds per acre, and the other is dollars per acre, and this is comparing treatment in pounds per acre. So you'll notice that the liquid injected treatments have a significant yield advantage and a dollar advantage over these broadcasted treatments. Although adding any kind of potassium to this location, as you can see, there is a yield bump from the broadcast compared to the untreated check. So this is the lint yield for Wharton and Williamson County in 2013. You're getting somewhat the same story here. You see that gradual rise as you're adding higher rates to this liquid injected applications. But you really don't see the same thing in granular broadcast. Although there is a numerical bump from the untreated check to the granular broadcast, there's not really that robust significant difference that you see with the liquid injected. I will have you notice that if you look at 20 pounds liquid injected compared to the 40 pounds granular broadcast, cutting that rate in half is benefiting the farmer right at the top, and that's obviously saving the money, which you'll see. And the next graph is return on investment for those two locations. And basically, this is just mirroring that lint yield graph you just saw. So this is lint yield for Williamson County in 2014 and 2015. You see there's not much of a response from any applied treatments. There is a little bit of a numerical bump from the untreated check to any kind of potassium being added. But I'll have you notice that this is a lower yielding year, so there might not have been so much of a demand for these cotton plants to be taking up this potassium. And this is mirrored in the return on investment. You see when it's dollars per acre compared to the treatments, you'll see that the highest rate in the short run, farmers did lose money when adding 160 pounds injected. But what have you noticed, in these study areas, it's heavy clay soil with very fine texture. So this potassium will remain relatively in the same area. So it could be used in the following years instead of applying more fertilizer. So for fiber analysis, it was conducted by Cotton Incorporated. We saw at all our sites that with greater than 200 ppmk, micronarrow strength and length were non-responsive to all the treatments. But at the sites with lower than 200 ppmk, it was found that length was non-responsive, but micronarrow responded to liquid treatments in 2012 and 2013. And also bundle strength responded to both application beds in 2012, but only liquid applications in 2013 and 2014. And some of the conclusions we can draw from the study is sites with greater than 200 ppmk were non-responsive to either application method or rate. And potassium application method and rate have an effect on lint yield to up to approximately 200 ppmk at two-thirds of the sites we tested. And it can be said that liquid injected treatments have a more consistent positive impact on lint yield than granular broadcast and also have a greater KU sufficiency as well as a greater return on investment for the producer. And it can be said that current soil K recommendations of 125 ppm should be reevaluated for cotton for liquid injected applications. So some of the future research would be to expand this study into the belt-wide and to encompass more environments and different soil types to see how these larger applications of potassium will benefit producers. I would like to thank my funding sources as well as the cooperators for all their inputs and time. Thank you. Any questions?
You said the 125 needs to be reevaluated.
Yes, sir. That's for 2 billion acre cotton.
What do y'all? Do you have a feeling of where you would raise that number?
Well, we have 12 locations, and most of them were responding up to approximately 200 ppm. So it is an increase, but if the producers can make a little money out of this, it's benefiting everyone.
Any other questions?
You mentioned that you were shooting for about a 2 bale per acre yield on these. I would imagine then that if you're shooting for higher yields, you might even have to increase that, you know, that threshold up even higher.
I believe so. There was only a few years where I believe the environment was adequate enough to where we can get a little bit higher than that, but in most cases we didn't really get above two bale acre cotton. So for our studies, we could not, there isn't much I could say as to how much potassium would have to be added above that, but for 2 bale acre cotton, it seems 200 ppm.
So you're telling me it was dry over there?
Oh yes, sir. That's for sure.
Any other questions?
If not, this concludes the early morning session. Appreciate your participation.